50 years, sometime this year, first revival meeting I had in southern Missouri. Still, I'm pretty timid. I think I'm getting worse all the time. It's pretty hard for me to get in the pulpit down where this camp meetings this way. I do a lot better way off somewhere out in revival someplace. And that's what I got on my mind now, a place in Missouri in the tent meeting. Kind of anxious to get back. I prayed quite a lot about coming out here, and I made a reservation, I guess, about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I got into Tulsa yesterday morning, and the fare was $125. And he said, "How about $115? Well, I said, "That's fine." So he said, "We're going to put you up." He didn't tell me, but we got out on the plane and over, I believe it was. Yeah, it was in Tulsa. So we're going to put you up first class. I said, "What would that be if I had to pay it?" He said, "That'd be $150. So they put me up first class. I didn't care so much about that, but just so I got out here.
Yeah.
But I thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Amen. One of the stewards said, "You're set right over here by me." She's watching at you.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank the Lord.
Lord.
Amen. Well, we're here. I want to make a long story short. You know what time it is? I have a talking clock. Sometimes I press this button and tell me when to quit. Now listen at it. Did you all hear it? Well, it's time to quit now. Before we even get started, I guess, looks like. A lot of places, they wouldn't stay with us this long. They'd already been gone.
Yes, that's right.
But it seemed like you folks out here seem like you stick right along pretty good. Amen. Well, I'd like to just talk to us a little bit. In Luke 16th chapter, we're going to look on a verse. Verse 16. How many knows what this is? Anybody know that verse and quote it for me? I believe it said that the law and the prophets were until John, did it not?
Yes.
What else did it say? Since then,
the kingdom of God is preached.
And every man, everyone,
presses into it.
Since that time, and I can say till now, we're still pressing.
Yes.
And the longer I go, the more I'm pressing.
Yes.
You might not believe it. Pressing all the way, Brother Warren. Getting down to real business now. Real business. As never before in all of our life. We don't have too much longer to go. I'd like to pass a thought on you, to you that we had last Sunday morning. I was in Nowata, Oklahoma. I was asleep. Just as I woke, a voice spoke to me. It said, "It's later than you think."
Yeah.
And that kind of started me, kind of scared me a little bit. Well, he was saying to me that time's about run out for you, or Jesus is coming. It's later than we think.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I'm finding today, friend, that we have a lot to press against now.
Right.
51 years ago, I was converted. 1933 in February. We had some trials then, maybe we didn't have now. But I want to say I have a lot more now than I didn't have then.
That's right.
Oh, you see, you're having some trials and tests of life. Well, it's not so much the temptations of the world. I've kind of got over that. But there's just simply a lot of things to contend with.
That's right.
A lot of things in the world today we have to confront us.
Right.
So we're constantly pressing.
Yes, Lord.
One day I lived on Missouri River, way in northwest Missouri. I would go down on the riverbank, and after a big flood or rain, I'd walk down there. I could see those days some, and I would notice after a big flood, there'd be a lot of things floating down the river. Sometimes there would be maybe a dead animal of some kind. A lot of trash picked up by the floods coming down the river. And I would notice sometimes something going up the river. A little motorboat. That little motorboat would just be singing a tune. Facing all of the, I start to say the traffic, all the old trash floating down the river. A lot of dead things floating down, friend.
Yes,
this little motorboat would wind its way through all the rubbish and on it go. I said that to say today, friend, we're going upstream.
Amen.
We're fighting the tides. We're fighting the currents, the rivers.
Amen.
A lot of trash floating down, just floating with the tide. And I thought any time we want to cut our oars off, climbing up this stream of life, there'll be a lot of dead things collect on us. Of trash of this old world, and just push our little canoe right on downstream. We're pushing against the tides of the currents of life now in this day that we're living in. I thought, sitting back here, there's a lot of inventions today. A lot of new inventions, a lot of new fashions, and a lot of new fads, a lot of things today that we have to continue to press against. These things. New inventions of all descriptions and kinds and things Satan has invented. He's invented, I believe he said, inventors of evil things. I think that was in Romans chapter 1, maybe. So we have a lot of things to push against. A lot of things today. Every man said presseth into it, did he? From the time of John the Baptist, since then the kingdom was preached. Every man presses into it. From the time that Jesus spoke to my heart in 1933 in February, I was in a crowded schoolroom over in southern Missouri in the hills. I tell folks I'm just an old hillbilly, right out of the hills of Missouri. And I wouldn't have known anything but an old plow and a mule, maybe, hadn't been for the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, the mule days is over. I guess they went out of fashion, but I wouldn't have known very much of anything. But I want to tell you today, since the time that Jesus spoke to me that night, he spoke to me and said, this is your last opportunity. This is your last call. Let me tell you, friend, that was a cold night in Missouri. Most everybody in the country went to church those days out there, and it was so crowded. Round the edge of the building, there was a little seat around everybody. I was sitting over here, and the Lord spoke to me. I had to press my way out through the crowd to get into the where I could pray to God. Let me tell you, Jesus spoke peace to my soul. But I had to press my way. I had to press. And I'll tell you, friend, we're in a pressing way today.
Yes, amen.
We have to press our way today. There's a lot of things. Now we're talking a little bit here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Look in chapter 9, verse 24, I believe. Speaking about running in a race here.
Yes.
Know you not, I believe he said, that they that run in a race run all.
Yes.
I believe that's what he said, was it?
That's right, yes.
But one, what? One received the prize. See, we're running in a race.
So run ye that ye may.
We're running in a race this afternoon, folks. Know ye not that they that run in a race, they all run. There's a lot of folks running, but one, did you say, one obtaineth the prize? Oh, there's a lot of folks are running today, but one obtaineth. One day I asked a little sister, I said, what does this mean? One obtaineth the prize. And she stopped a little bit and said, oh, that's the church of God. That's the church of God. I said, amen. One that obtaineth the prize. There's a lot of folks are running in this race, but one is going to win.
Amen.
And that's the true church of the living God.
Amen.
One obtaineth the prize. Science said, so run that you might obtain, didn't he?
Yeah.
Run that you might win. Are we actually running to win tonight?
Yeah.
This afternoon? Are we in this race to really to win? Now listen what he said.
Every man.
The prize is to the mastery. Now you notice this. The Apostle Paul is taking this in some race, some athletic race tracks out there. And he said, know you not. Let's see what he say here.
Every man that striveth.
Hold right here. Every man that striveth for masteries or for trophies, crown. Hold right here. He's temperate in all things.
Now they do it.
Now they do it. Now notice this. They're doing this to gain a corruptible, perishable crown. He's talking about somebody actually running in a race out here. Giving us an illustration here. Something to think about. And they're running to obtain, to win a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. See, he's tempered in all things. It is necessary for those people to win, to be temperate, moderate. It is more necessary for us to learn temperance. If we can learn temperance, this will be a great stride to the church of the living God for every individual. Intemperance is causing people. What does it cause? An answer here. Intemperance. They're slowing down, retarding the people. Cares of this life and deceitfulness, riches, and other things is entering in, choking out the Word of God. Oh, if we can learn temperance today, I think temperance is just, what would you call it? Contentment. And it's contentment. If we can learn to be contented with the things that we have, brother, we can run a whole lot better race. I'm glad here that I'm learning to be temperate. I'm learning that I don't care too much about the world. Anything would hinder us on our journey for making progress this afternoon. We need to learn to be temperate. And the Bible, to be temperate. The Bible tells us to add temperance, didn't it?
Yes.
To add temperance. We're running a race now. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, see, but we an incorruptible crown. Temperance. One time somebody said, well, be timid in smoking. Be timid in playing cards, lying just a little bit.
No.
And first one thing and then another. Just be temperate. Drink a little whiskey. Do a little bit of dancing like the nominal church world would say. No friend.
Amen.
He's telling us to be temperate in the things that God allows us to do.
Amen.
Some of these things is excluded from a Christian's life. Temperance. Yeah, I don't think I could be tempered in smoking,
no.
Chewing tobacco, and doing a little bit of dancing, and stealing
bless
a little bit,
all
a little card playing, and so forth.
Bless
we ought to be tempered in the things which God allows us in the legitimate things. Learn to be tempered in buying, in working, buying and selling, eating and drinking. Talking and sleeping.
That's right.
A lot of things. We need to be temperate.
Yes.
Run a good race.
Amen.
All you know, we can sure talk too much.
Yes.
I found out that a long time ago. Lord, help us to learn some lessons to be temperate, running a good race, pressing along. Now, what did he say here?
I therefore
shall run, not
as uncertainly.
I'm not in this thing just to see how fast, how far I can go.
So fight I not.
Beat the air. Just shadow boxing. One time I thought I could pretty good boxer, maybe. But I found out I wasn't one time along the journey. See, just shadow boxing. Somebody said, well, what is it here, beating there? Well, I said, it's just like this, little girl. Just jumping up and down, not getting any place. I used to ride a little old bicycle. Well, it wasn't really a bicycle. It was just an exercise bicycle. It showed 30 miles an hour on the speedometer. But I wasn't getting any place. I was just sweating and puffing. That's the way a lot of folks, they think they're running and not really getting any place. They're spinning their wheels like a drunk man sitting on the side of the highway, stuck one time maybe in the ice or something, and a cop come up to him, and he says, I'm sure getting with it, ain't I? And just sitting there spinning his wheels. That's the way a lot of folks is, just chatterboxing to go on. All right, he says here a little more.
Brother Allen?
Yeah.
Weymouth translation says wasting time.
Losing time.
Losing time.
Just losing time. Might I add right here, while we're right here on this, in Matthew 12:36, to read a verse of Scripture. Now this ought to help us. I want you to notice this verse.
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
In the day of judgment. Now you see, there's sure a lot of idleness, isn't there? God's jerked the line on me a few times, hadn't been very long off either. Lord help you, even since I've been here. We're going to have to give an account. We need to learn to be timid. I wish we could all learn not to talk so much. I think it would help us an awful lot, don't you? All right, we read a little more here.
I keep under my body
and bring it into subjection.
Lest I by
any means
preach to others, I myself would be
a castaway. Now that's what the Apostle Paul says. We're running in a race, aren't we?
Yes, Lord.
We're running. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, seeing you're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses,
yes,
let us lay aside, lay aside every weight,
yes,
and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
If we can discover some causes, what is causing us? The sin that does so easily, I say, upset. Beset is chronic, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a chronic ailment. Some folks are tripped up every little bit. They run pretty nice for a while. They come to the altar and they repent. And it seems as though they get the victory. And they're happy. But they run on a little farther and they're upset again. The same thing has upset them. It's a chronic ailment. It's a fall in the temple. If we can notice this here. Seeing we are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
Chapter 11 was a
12.
Great... Well, 11 was a great cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
Then he said, let us lay aside every weight.
Yes.
I carried a tape recorder and listened to just about all of the old Bible on the tape recorder. I carried it around. You can believe it or not, when I lay that tape recorder down after walking a few miles, I could walk a lot better. It was a kind of a weight to me.
Yeah.
And we can discover some weights that's hindering us on the journey of life and just lay it aside.
That's right.
Take it off. I think this is possibly taken from racers, people who did some racing, had weights on them, and to take a weight off, they could just run that much faster. And finally, when they removed all the weights, just seemed like it just take that off like a jackrabbit. Lord help us. Let us lay aside every weight. Have we discovered any weights in our life? Are we sensitive enough that the Lord can talk to us about our weights?
May the Lord help.
Every one of us ought to be real sensitive people. Well, you may discover some things in my life, but let me tell you something. As you discover some things in my life, who knows but what God's really been talking to me about this. He probably has. And has probably been talking to you about this. Or we might sit on the corner and criticize somebody, and that falls off in the night and day of praying that God will deliver him. We need to be that sensitive to our own mistakes in life and confess them to God and forsake them. Lord, help us as individuals to be sensitive enough to when we say or do anything is wrong, we'll be sensitive enough to realize and get a hold of it and say, God, help me. The Lord is faithful to touch us and talk to us, isn't He? He'll do that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily. I call it upset.
Beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before.
Now, first, to lay aside the things that's wrong in our life is to discover the cause.
Yes.
Is to get a hold of the cause and recognize it and then get the cure.
Amen.
This thing in here that upsets folks is a chronic thing. It's kind of like yeast in dough. And it goes to working. And you set it around the fire and it begins
what?
Puff up. Don't it?
Yes, that's true.
What caused it to do this? There was something in it, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was leaven, wasn't it?
That's right.
It's leaven in people's lives that causes them to get upset. It's a chronic ailment.
Amen.
And you'll likely carry that thing all down to life's journey and run well for a while and get upset.
Amen.
Until you get the cure.
Amen. Yeah.
You discover the cause. And I believe when God goes to sanctification, will cure this thing.
Amen.
I believe that's the cure.
Amen.
If we can get the cure. And let me tell you this, friend, we're not immune to everything when you get sanctified. You've got to keep praying and looking to God all the time.
Amen.
For grace. Or you're liable to get off of the track somewhere. No, you don't ever do. Let us be honest here. I haven't had a quarrel in my house. Not a ripple in my house. Between me and my wife. For a long time.
Amen.
You got a hold of the cure. And that was the cause. Well, we didn't have no trouble much. But I found out I was a troublemaker if it was, but I believe I was. Bless God, thank the Lord. Feel like shouting a little anyway.
Praise the Lord.
Get a hold of Oh, you say, my wife, she's a bad one. Well, maybe it might be in John. And she might not look so bad if you discover the cause and get the cure.
Amen.
Amen. A fallen temple. Somebody needs a good cleansing.
Amen.
Purging.
Amen.
Get rid of this old man.
Yes.
He'll cause you trouble all the way if you don't watch him, you know.
Yes, he will.
And you keep pressing him down. A fellow will say one day, well, we used to make bread. I noticed the thing would puff up. She push it down after a while. Well, that's the way they do it, ain't it? Once in a while, I don't understand it. Maybe so you do. And after a while, it pop up again. That's the way a lot of folks. What do you call this?
That's the truth.
You press it. What do you call it now?
You knead it down, brother. It pops up again. Then you put it in the oven.
Oh, you knead it down.
In the furnace.
Well, I was thinking about something that somebody said. Some smart men. They call it. Well, I can't get the word out. Well. Lord help us. There's a cure that we don't have to keep pushing things down all the time.
Amen.
That's pretty bad. That's a bad life to live.
Mr. Manuel said when it pops up enough, you put it in the fire.
Oh, you put it in the fire. And you let it cook about an hour. And it don't pop up anymore. Attack the fuck out of
it.
Somebody said about his good brother-in-law, brother, preacher, both of them were, but one of them said, he said, he's puffed up. He couldn't get along with it. So he just puffed up. Oh, Lord, help us. I believe there is a way to get the puff out of us.
Praise the Lord.
Let that steam off. Sometimes folk get so puffed, there's got to be a puff, pop, off valve. Or he's going to blow up. Lord, have mercy on us folks today. He says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to set us, upset us, and then I can run with patience.
Praise the Lord.
We need some patience. Folks, I tell you, we need a lot of patience. I've been the worst person, I guess, I've ever known about. Down through the years, all my life. Now I'm going like a snail, but not very fast at that. One time I said, well, Lord, help us here. Well, maybe I better not say this. Lord, pull my coattail a little. Might be a laughter. But I'll tell you right now, the Lord, he knows how to take care of us, don't he?
Yeah.
To give us some patience. One day in my life, I couldn't hardly sit in a rainy day. I'd cause more disturbance in the house. The lions and the lambs and the tigers and snapping turtles in our house, and I was the lion of the bunch, I reckon. In one way I was. Now, we had some foxes in there. It was worse off than I was. They doing things I didn't do, but they thought I was a lion anyway. But I'll tell you, God gets through that old lion nature.
Amen.
He can change your nature.
Amen.
So while I'm thinking, hold this open. Come to my mind in 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I know, but I've been raised up in a different environment. Well, you know, people are different people. Some of them been raised up like hogs. About like some of us. I can say that maybe and get by with. And I say to myself, I'll tell you what, the Lord changed the hog's nature. If he got one in you. Lion's nature. And then all this your funny nature. Clowns. Some of us is clowns in this old world. Well, I was counted that when I was a young fellow. Lord, help us here, but listen.
Amen.
Let's look on verse about 4 here. Make a long story short.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and
precious promises.
Amen. The Lord.
By these.
Amen. That by these ye might be partakers
of his divine.
Of the divine nature.
See? Now God wants to change our nature. He wants to change that nature. Now, I can say this, maybe you can get by. That my grandfather was an old Scots Irish man and had everybody in the country laughing at him and just rolling on the ground and laughing at him. Well, he was a Scots Irish man. Well, that kind of fell off on me some. But I'm going to tell you this, when God can change that kind of a nature.
Yeah,
yeah. He can change that old clownish nature.
Amen.
Now we have to bother with it a little occasionally. The devil comes along and wants you to say something kind of smart.
Yes.
Get some out of laughing.
Yes.
The Lord kind of struck, hit me pretty hard about that. Kind of below the belt, so to speak.
Amen.
It's about knocked the air out of him. Now I tell you, God can change nature.
Yes. Amen.
Natures. In our environments. How we've been raised up. Some folks have been raised up to talk about anything, and it makes me sick. How mothers talk to the children and get stuff in there, and actually, I'm amazed at it.
Amen.
How some folk can talk some things, it makes me feel ashamed. Well, that's the way we've been raised up. Well, when you get when God gets through raising you up, it changes us. According to divine, in the environment we're in, I've had some people talk some mighty awful things. I never thought nothing about it, right in the presence of my wife. They didn't think anything about it. Finally, I had to get the man and tell him, I said, that's awful. Couldn't talk about anything any worse, hardly. Never thought nothing about it. Raised up in their environment. God changes our natures. It's amazing what God can do with us. Where He brought us up and out of. Brought us out and up on a rock, thank God. And He said, being partaker of the divine nature.
Having escaped the corruption
of the world.
That is in the world
through lust. And God wants to change us. God can change any environment. Things that we've been sort of, what you call it, climbing it to our natures and so forth. I'll tell you, God can change things.
Yes.
He take a man that's walked on the railroad for years until his glory of hair about a foot long and whiskers way up down here all matted with ambier. I tell you, if God gets rid of that man, he's going to look for some soap and head for the creek. And get to the barber shop. God changes people. He changes the nature. Salvation changes people. Well, I didn't intend to get into this. Lord, just help us.
Yes, Lord.
Say, Lord, here's a little carcass. Would you put a little meat on it, please? Lord, help us. We get the little running gears, so to speak. We get a little few scriptures, and we ask the Lord, put a little meat on this, Lord. It's just a carcass. God, help us today. Running with patience. They that run all, they're running in a race, but one obtaineth the prize.
Yes, Lord.
Back in the continental foot race of 1926 or 7, wasn't it? Running out of the state of California to some seaboard edge of maybe the seaboard, eastern seaboard, they was running the race. There was a lot of folks in that race, wasn't there? But I would assume that some didn't get out of the state of California.
Till
they got out where the pavement was a little blistering or got out on a hill and started up a mountain somewhere and had to pick them up and bring them back. Started out, they ran a little ways. you talk off like a jackrabbit. I see a lot of folks just jumping and going, jumping and running. You say he's going to make it. He's run a little while and he's quit. I'd rather start off like an old terrapin. Just gradually moving along. That's the way I did anyway. Lord help us. I'm making a little progress. Lord help us. Then they got out over the hill a little further and somebody else dropped out down in Chandler, Oklahoma. I didn't know this fellow's name, Andy Payne. He come running through a same as Victor's song. He's running, and I can see him, and his eyes just, his head kind of down, and he's running along. He'd listen, hey, Andy, just running on, looking around the curves at Highway 66. That's what he's traveling on. He's going on, and old Andy Payne come out with a victory. But you've got to keep your mind on Highway 66, Ben, and quit listening to all of the noises that we hear. The Highway 66 is a highway of holiness, and it's got 66 books of the Bible, and it's, you can see around every curve and every deep, every road, every crossroads, underpass, overpass. You keep your mind on the Highway 66, that's heaven. That will take you to heaven. Heaven, that's the objective, is heaven. There's a lot of things sitting on the corner everywhere. Every enticing thing today and glistening thing to draw away our attention away from God today. Old silver dollar city down there is attracting a lot of folks. Down in Missouri. I expect a lot of you's been there now. Don't get the tuck head. Lord help us. Somebody told me it wasn't a fit place to go. I had to go down there once. Lord help us, folks.
Yes.
I'll tell you, what is this Disneyland business? I'll tell you, there's a sign right down here on Highway 66. Yeah. Look out, detour. What's this over here? Going down here. Well, that's Disneyland. Flashing the red light signal here. The danger ahead. Keep your mind on Highway 66. Well, there's a lot of things, just detours everywhere. I've lost sight of this world myself. I don't care anything about it. You can give me a ticket to all of it today. I said, you can punch a few holes in that if you want to. Lord help us. I got my mind somewhere else. I got it on heaven.
Amen.
The old Highway 66 said, this is the way to come in and walk in. Highway 66 used to cross the continent. It doesn't now. It's run into 44 over here. Well, it's 44, I guess. Maybe about all the way. Well, Lord help us. 40? Is it 40? Okay. Well, amen. Well, I'm still on Highway 66, isn't it? You can change if you want. Lord help us. I was driving off. Now we're running along now. Now I want to tell you, we're going to have to run. We're going to have to strive according to the blueprint, to the roadmap. We got a roadmap here. Thank God. Hallelujah. I thought the other day, I said, well, Lord, I believe every bit of this Bible. I believe all of this Bible. Well, what we got to do is go to turning the pages and look closely when we read this thing and obey this and practice this. We'll make some, we'll push ahead. We'll keep running now. All right, in 2 Timothy, I'll hurry along here. I'm going to touch this talk quickly. See what time it is. Well, the Lord just help us right here. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll look on about verse 4 or 5 maybe. It says something about
no man that warreth
and tangled himself in the affairs of this life may please him and chosen to be a soldier. Now listen to what he says.
If a man,
I ain't talking about a man
also driving for masteries.
He's talking about a man out here. Well, we'll call it a baseball player.
Yes.
Do you want to? Maybe you would rather see a football player. Maybe that's what you're interested in. Lord, help us. But it says, if a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned.
Yet is he not crowned.
See, he isn't crowned
except he strive long.
Now, if I had my 26 translations here, we'd see what it said. You have one, sister? Manuel? On this right here? All right. He is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What's he telling us here? If you play of a game, you've got to have to go by the rules and regulations. Or you're not going to be crowned in this game. You're counted out. Foul play. That's counted out. If a man strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully.
Yes.
Now he said, consider what I say. He wants us to understand what he's trying to get to us. And the Lord give you understanding in all things. He's not crowned except he strive lawfully. We're going to have to go by the rules and regulations. Now you have the road map, or you have the blueprint, what do you call it, yeah? What'd you call it? The road map? In your hand tells you how to go. By the rules and regulations, that's our roadmap.
Yes.
And thank God we have a compass,
yes,
the Holy Spirit,
yes,
to guide us, and the Holy Spirit will coincide with the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And you've got a safe guide here.
Yes.
Word and the Spirit will agree as we go on.
Amen.
Now, we drop down into the 6th chapter of Galatians, verse 16. First, I want to tell you this, folks. I mentioned this somewhere, I believe. In our country, they have fox hunters. You know anything about fox hunters? Fox dogs. And those people, they really take pride in that. Oh, that's something to them. They get some of them old hounds out there, and they start running. And they take off after a fox. And some old hound or two will get way back behind. You hear, woo, way back half a mile. And he'll get tired of that, and he'll see which way these hounds is coming. And he'll cut across over here in front of them and get ahead of them. That's jaywalking. Dog jaywalk. Let me tell you, there's a lot of folks that are trying to cut corners and jaywalk on Scripture. And he'll come up and hear you come out of way over here. But whenever they get up to the context, old ball, he was counted completely out. He didn't make first base.
That's right.
Cutting corners, jaywalking, trying to get ahead of it. That's the way of a lot of people. They're trying to cut corners that they're not going to be crowned at the resurrection day.
Yeah, that's right.
Whenever the Lord comes up, he's the referee of this.
Amen.
He's looking down on the racetrack today. And he knows how we're running, which way we're going. And he knows why we're zigzagging. The Bible says something about, well, does it say something about something like that? Well, swerving. Swaying, zigzag, in and out, and so forth. When you come out at the end of the journey, if we haven't run lawfully, we won't be crowned. We will not be crowned. Lord, help us today. Now, here in the 16th verse, what did it say?
And as many as walk
as many as according to the rule. Now, we got the rule in our hands here today, haven't you? The rule. You got the rule here. Now, as many as walk according to this rule.
Peace be on them.
He'll have peace.
And mercy.
And he'll have mercy.
And upon the Israel of God.
On the church of God. That means the church of God.
Yes.
It does mean the church of God, doesn't it?
Yes.
On the Israel of God.
Yes.
What did it say? As many as walk according to this rule. What? Peace?
Yes.
Peace? And what
peace
else?
Peace be on them.
Peace.
And mercy.
And mercy on the Israel of God. Now, if we run and strive lawfully at the end of the journey, when the books is open over there in Revelation chapter 20, wasn't it? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the book was open.
Yes.
The book is open. And another book was open.
Yes.
What did you say?
Which is the book,
the
of life.
Book of life. Now, when the book was open, at the final analysis, at the end of the journey, and we come over across the finish line to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, at the resurrection. Do you want to say, Brother Carl?
Which is
the book of life.
And the dead were judged out,
and the dead judged out of these things
which were written
in the books
according to the works.
To the works. What else?
And the sea gave up
judgment day.
And death and hell delivered up
the dead which were in them.
And they were judged,
all of them judged
according to the works.
According to the works. See, we're going to stand before the Lord. Do you ever think about this? Do you think about this? Not hardly a day passes I don't think about this.
Yes.
We stand. And I look up towards heaven. Can I see my name on the book of life? Can you see your name? Really, is your name? Can you see your name there today? Are you striving according to the rules and regulations here? There can't be no spots on that record. He said, I saw the dead stand before God and the books is open. Now there's some books here open. It's these books that you have in your hands. I think sometimes not only these books, but there's a book of our life. Seems like I can see and hear me a book of our records of our life. What kind of a book is that? Well, on that life, it all has to be good. If we are approved of God,
There
can't be nothing wrong in that records, in them records. There can't be anything wrong. What kind of a book are we writing day by day? The pages. If I owed a debt, I'm going to tell you something. If I owed anybody a dollar bill, I'd surely be trying to get a hold of that person.
Praise the Lord.
I'd try to get that off of the deed, off the records, as soon as I could. If I owed $5,000, if I owed $10,000, and I got a house, and it's clear, I'd go and mortgage the house and pay my debt. If I lost the house.
Praise the Lord.
Would you?
Amen.
I would anyway.
Yeah.
If I lost my house, that goes. I want to get that off my mind.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks on beat debts for years and years and years. And after a while, they almost say the thing's outlawed, and I don't know it anymore. No, you can't outlaw debt. There's a poor old brother in our country, Carl, he's a man. In our country, and he owed a debt so long that they sued him and took him to court, and it had been so long that it was outlawed. He come back and he says, Brother Will, I beat him. But Brother Will told me, he says, he hasn't beat the judgment yet.
They
haven't beat the judgment day yet. One of these days the records is going to come forth. People, I'm telling you, God's got a straight people.
Amen.
He's got a straight. There are no crooks on this road. That's a crooked people can't go on that way. Lord, just help us right here. I tell you right now, we can get ourselves sometimes in a pretty bad predicament. In fact, because we're not temperate enough. We haven't learned temperance yet. God help us. Well, I better stop. Lord, help us. It's pretty late. I'm going to see what time it is right here, if you don't mind.
It's
4:36. I don't know how long. I don't know when it started now. But I'm going to quit right here. Just getting started in. 4:36.
Amen.
4:36.
Started about 3:57.
All right. Wasn't up here quite an hour. Well, I didn't even get started in. But maybe the start will help somebody. Any need here this afternoon? Any need at the altar prayer? We don't have to just keep coaxing people and pulling on them all the time. Any need? You want to pray? Well, I hope you're not too disappointed in me getting up here in these few minutes. The Lord help us today. I really just get started in talking, preaching here a little. Well, Lord bless you, so I pray. Anybody want to pray? Let's stand.